Okay, if everybody would like to come in and take your seats, please remember if you have any cell phones on or pagers, please put them on vibration. We're going to go ahead and get the land use committee meeting called to order. Let the record reflect we have Councilman Smiley, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon Bell, Council President Kovac, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Weiner, Co-Chair Retta, and Ms. George is taking the notes. Can I entertain a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes of previous meeting.
Second.
No additions, corrections. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to the first item on the agenda. It's under sponsorship of Councilman Weiner.
Yes, the application deals with the 20 Monchanan, and it's for a deed restriction change. Stoltz organization is seeking County Council's approval for a change in the deed restrictions for 20 Monchanan, formerly the Columbia Gas headquarters. And so I'd like to call upon the applicant's attorney to make a presentation.
Please remember that anybody that's rising to speak, make sure you state your name for the recording, as it does not recognize your voice.
Good afternoon, members of council. Mr. Tackett is distributing some materials for your review through this hearing and then in the week as we approach the vote. The application before you today is actually one of, I would think, the lesser complicated issues you have. We're looking to amend a set of deed restrictions with very little net change at the end of the day. We originally applied to lift the deed restrictions for this parcel. There was also a separate rezoning that was applied for. Those were considered on the same date in front of the planning board. Subsequent to that, the planning board or the department suggested that it may be appropriate to condition or to amend the restrictions such that the department and the county would be party to some of them, which we had no issues with, and sent a document to the county that said these could either be reported as a separate document or, like the discussions that we had at Barley Mill, could be added to the plan itself. The changes themselves are fairly minimal. Perhaps the biggest change from the original restrictions is that the original restrictions likely limit development on the property to a single building. This restriction change would allow us to take 6,000 square feet of the remaining square footage on the property and construct that in a separate building, located in a specific location, utilizing the existing entrance. In exchange for that change, we are adding additional restrictions that are not present in the original restrictions. These include further limitations on the uses that are permitted on the property, a limitation to how much of the property could be rezoned and what classification it could be rezoned to, and limitations with regard to any future expansion of the property and what direction it could take. I know there's been a lot of material circulating regarding this application, so I wanted to comment briefly on a couple aspects of that. There's been a suggestion that the planning board receive new materials prior to the time that it issued its favorable recommendation on this project. The restrictions that were provided to the department and conveyed to the planning board contained identical language to the restrictions that were submitted to the department as a part of the overall application process. My cover letter and all the attachments are in these materials dated May 20th of 2011. In addition, there's been some suggestion that there's as far as the remaining abilities to construct under the existing restrictions, that we are limited to 12,000 square feet. While there may actually be a limitation that could equate to 12,000 square feet of ground floor area, the restrictions allow for two stories and a basement, which translates into 36,000 square feet of additional area that could be constructed on the property. We're not looking to change any of that by the restrictions, the amended restrictions that are before you. In fact, while the ground floor area increases briefly or slightly to 1.792 acres, what that does is equate to allowing us to preserve the 36,000 square feet of remaining square footage that's available on this parcel. So that's an overview of the restrictions. Again, the principal change is to allow a second building without any increase in square footage, without any increase in height to the property, and in fact, lower heights located on the portion of the property that would be closer to Monchanan Road. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Absolutely. Okay, turning to council. Anybody on council have any questions for the applicant? Anybody from the public? Okay. Councilman Weiner and then Councilman Cartier.
Sure. The deed restriction draft, Mr. Tracy, you've sent over a working draft. Our council to council has taken a look at it and had some grammatical and substantive changes. Have you had a chance to review them?
I've not.
Okay. Appreciate your opportunity to do that. As you know, I think the deadline is 12 noon Wednesday.
I hadn't seen them, so they were probably sent after I left the office to come over here.
Okay. I've also sent them on the advice of our attorney to land use and law for their review to see if they have any additional changes. And as per often is the case, we're working with the current working model, recognizing there may be some changes by the time it gets to council. If, in fact, it doesn't make the deadline by tomorrow at 12 noon, then there may be the need in terms of public notice to continue the matter from next Tuesday's hearing.
I will certainly endeavor to have my comments back to you prior to that deadline.
Right, and that would then go to the county attorney is on vacation, so that would go to the county attorney, folks that are covering for him, and that would be Wendy Danner, and also to David Culver from Land Use, as well as to Carol Doolin for their review.
Sure.
And very likely, Councilman, I think probably if forwarded to the clerk of council.
Yes.
Just because the issue has been raised and we're all been made aware of it, that perhaps we all should be privy to the response.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Not really. Mm-hmm.
Councilman Cartier?
I've just like to ask for indulgence of folks. I just got these materials and was reviewing the recommendations and the that is in the packet. I'm just the substance of what we're going to be asked to do next Tuesday in our vote is to remove a set of deed restrictions that were imposed on the property back in the 1960s that in which county was made a third-party interest, correct?
Correct?
Now we have a new set of deed restrictions. If that's the substance of the vote that we're going to do, are we going to have a follow-on action at that time? Because my understanding is the next set of deed restrictions that have been negotiated by other parties don't really include the county government.
If I can respond to that. Everybody, I think, is abundantly
familiar. Just state your name, please.
I'm sorry. John Tracy. Here on behalf of the applicant. Everybody's abundantly familiar with the process as to how the Stoltz projects have arrived at County Council's desk. As part of that process, much like other parcels, there were a series of negotiated restrictions between the community and the developer as to what could or could not occur on the property once the original restrictions were terminated. The original process was to lift the deed restrictions, and then the separate community deed restrictions upon which the county was not a party would then be recorded. Subsequent to what was discussed at the Barley Mill project and the way that proceeded with the same process, and the deed restrictions involved in that one, it was suggested it made more sense for the county to become a party to at least some of the restrictions as it had with Barley Mill Plaza. So what I did was provided a list of restrictions that I had lifted from the original agreed upon document and sent that to the department with the caveat that this can either be a separate set of restrictions that would be recorded, conditioned, council's vote conditioned on recording that set of restrictions, or there could be notes on the ultimate plan for the property, whichever council on its discretion elected to do. So the end all is that they're assuming council approves a lifting, there will now be two sets of restrictions, assuming council wants one set running in favor of Newcastle County imposed upon this parcel.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Councilman Meyer?
Thank you. I'd like to ask David Culver to do a quick executive summary of the Planning Board and Land Use Department's recommendation.
Oh, there he is. David Culver, General Manager, Department of Land Use. And I think Mr. Tracy kind of summed it up pretty well. Our recommendation on this was conditional approval for their application, which was a determination of the current deed restrictions. Part of that approval was to send council both the deed restrictions that we could enforce as either a recorded document or as a document to add notes to the record pane, similar to what was done at the Barney Mill rezoning. So that was our approval, a conditional approval. The board voted in favor with that recommendation to send that to council with the conditional approval of lifting the current deed restrictions in favor of restrictions as attached or as listed on the record plan.
Okay.
Additional question. I think, Mr. Culver, issues have been raised by some of my constituents concerning the validity and legality of the procedures before the Planning Board and Land Use Department in terms of timely submission of documents. Are you familiar with those concerns, and if so, could you address them?
Well, I'm not sure I'm familiar with all the concerns that may be raised. Mm-hmm. The applications that were in front of the Department of Planning Board was for rezoning
yes.
of the property and for the termination of deed restrictions. Mm-hmm. As the applicant explained at the hearing, the termination of the deed restrictions would be part of the process, and then they would have private deed restrictions with Kenneth Pike Association or other groups that would have the enforceability on the plan along with the rezoning. In reviewing the termination of the deed restrictions and what the applicant was looking at, we asked the applicant if they just lifted the deed restrictions, do they still need the rezoning for the proposed uses? At this point in time, the applicant opined they did not need the rezoning. And we also said to the applicant, would there be deed restrictions that you're offering to the community that could be enforceable by Newcastle County also, since we heard concerns at a previous hearing as to the enforceability of that. So we asked the applicant to again recapture those restrictions, similar to what we did on the previous application, so that we could send them down to council with the option of council doing it one of two ways. One, recording a new document as deed restrictions, or two, just putting that as notes on the record plan as part of your motion that was done on the previous application. The application itself was not for a deed restriction change to another deed restriction. The application was simply to terminate. We agreed with that termination, but we're saying as part of that termination, we want a condition of these other items to be either added to the record plan as it was done on the previous application or recorded as a separate document. Mm-hmm. So we gave that option back to council that you can do it in one of two ways. Either way is acceptable to the department and the planning board.
Thank you.
Just a little record keeping, let the record reflect Councilman Straighten Hollins have joined us, and we did hear that Councilman Powers and Councilwoman Diller would not be able to join us. Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was looking through, recommendation, planning board recommendation, Department of Land Use, and I guess there were questions about what would happen or what could happen at the site should the deed restriction be voted down. What could still be done at the site? I mean, it looked like you provided some additional explanation of what could be done at the site. Can you explain to us what could still be done if you if we would vote down this change in the deed restriction, could physically still be done at the site?
Again, if this deed restriction was voted down and the deed restriction remained in place, then those conditions on the original deed restriction could still be done at the site. And there was some additional gross floor area as part of the original building that could still be built. It would still need to go through the planning process. This was basically lifting the deed restrictions would allow that square footage to be a separate building.
Okay, so right now, if it could be more square footage, it would just have to be the same building itself?
If I recall correctly, it would all have to be one single building, which would cause the original deed restriction. The property itself would still remain Albus Regional. And my understanding from the applicant, and the applicant can correct me if I'm wrong, the proposed use for the building they want to build would fit into the office regional zoning classification without the zoning change at this point in time.
Okay. Councilman Weiner?
Yes. Within the current office regional zoning, is what is the extent of commercial which is permitted in the current zoning?
Within the current zoning, I'll double check the code. I believe it's 20% of the site. Kind of accessory and commercial.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. Councilman Street.
just have a question, and I don't know. I'm sure one of our lawyers can answer, but my question is, my perusal of this deed restriction, Hagley is part of the original, it's part of that deed restriction, or at least was party to the sign up. Is that correct?
We need an attorney to answer that.
The original restrictions, there's two different restrictions. One of them provide both Hagley and the Kennett Pike Association with the ability to enforce those restrictions. When it comes to amending it, it seems that only the property owner and the county have to consent to an amendment of the restrictions.
Okay. So as part and parcel to this discussion and this proposal to lift the deed restriction, has Hagley or Representative Hagley had any contact communication been involved at all?
Hagley was represented by somebody who attended the planning board hearing on this matter. Hagley has not, to my knowledge, taken a position either for or against the application. But they were at the planning board. I had a conversation with them. They elected not to testify. I believe it was a curator, but don't quote me on that.
Thank you. That's it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. David Carver, General Manager. I misspoke. Table 4032.10A of the county code allows 10%. I think I said 20 earlier. It is 10%. I just want to clarify that for the record. Mm-hmm. And the site on that is table 4032.10A, limited use standards. 10% of the GFA within the park or development and or 10% within any ORB PRI district. So it's 10% commercial retail that would be permitted mm-hmm. under the code.
Okay. Councilman Martin.
Thank you. Councilman Street brought another question to mind when he asked the question about one of the parties to the original deed restrictions, that would be the Hagley. My question is, if Hagley, maybe this would be directed to the county attorney's office, if Hagley has opted not to either oppose or participate or support this application, can County Council still consider this application next Tuesday?
Anybody can answer.
I'm going to say yes.
Wendy Banner.
Said anybody.
County Solicitor. I'm sorry, the question was if Hagley doesn't take a formal position, can we still go
yes.
forward?
Yes. They're a party to the original deed restrictions, and they had the, I think the wording is they have the power to enforce the original deed restrictions. If Hagley at this point opts neither to support or oppose or participate in the current deed restriction application to modify the deed restrictions, can County Council properly consider the deed restriction change? That's before County Council in the absence of any input from Hagley. And alternatively, can we compel Hagley to participate in if they choose not to?
This is the first that was brought to my attention, but I can definitely look into it and get back to council whether that's
the great, because I think that'll certainly be a question for all of us for next Tuesday. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. All right. Okay, let's move on to the next item.
I think there may be some community groups that are here that may want to speak.
Okay, I went to the community a few minutes ago and nobody raised their hand to speak. I'll go back to the community again then.
Could I have just a moment?
I'll start around the room here. All right. Just ask that you rise and state your name. And
my name is Bob Williams, and I know your duty is to protect and preserve the quality of life through fair and consistent denials of unfit applications. This is an unfit application. If you look at the current zoning map of the area surrounding 20 Mount Shannon, you see it is listed as residential, premium residential. The land is marked on the zoning maps as very low residential. This is totally residential territory that is part of this land trust. Its zoning on this 20 Mount Shannon was allowed only with the highly restrictive deed restriction. Highly restrictive deed restriction that allows one building in a corner far away from the historic Catholic Church and the other regional historic properties that give our hometown cultural meaning. The present owner, Stoltz, agreed to the deed restrictions when he bought the property. And so he's put together a complex blackmail scheme, and I think the community ought to reject blackmail. He wants to divide the area residents to break the zoning necessary that would break this deed restriction. The citizens that appear to support this are victims of this blackmail. They don't want a commercial strip mall any more than the rest of us. You know, it's your duty to deny this, because this would be a travesty. Now that the state already owns the right-of-way, or has the right-of-way on the side there, they're going to have to build a four-lane road anyway, because of, I mean, a four-lane bridge, in order to take care of all this traffic that Stoltz is generating in this area. I think that you will find you're not able to take a left-hand turn at the time off of Mount Shannon Road onto 141. This area is sensitive, you know. It's not something you fool around with just because some property owner has, you know, profit in his head, in his mind. He knew what he was getting into, and he bought into it, you know. And I think that right now there's already runoff into Breck's Mill properties. There's only 6.2 paved acres, and they've got runoff problems. They have to sandbag this area. And so I think you can see that it doesn't do any good to prolong this commercialization of this whole area. The Greenville Center wasn't there. It started out as a little thing by the side of the railroad, just a little, you know, commercial, whatever. It doesn't need to extend all the way down through to the town of Wilmington. So I would say that due to our what's happened just recently, the Catholic Church has lost its most historic property on Lancaster Pike. This has been torched twice in the past year. And also the ironwork for the cemetery has been stolen. It's time to put an end to this, you know, assault on our historical properties. Thank you.
Just another reminder for ladies and gentlemen, members of the public, as I move around the room, I'm asking you to please, as I come across you, if you've got anything to say, any comments you want to offer, please just raise your hand and I'll call upon you, state your name. And as I move around the room one time, I'll probably wrap up the public comment after that. Councilman Smiley?
Can we ask them to also identify if they're representing an organization?
Well, hopefully they will do that voluntarily. If we determine that, we probably could call them out. But we'll see. Moving down the line. Next.
Members of Council, my name is Walt McEvely. I live on Overbrook Road, West Over Hills, and I'm here with representatives from the Save Our County organization. I submitted a letter to Council, an email to Council, outlining a number of reasons why we believe that the action of the Planning Board and its recommendation were made illegally and inappropriately and should not be taken up by Council, rather that they should be referred back to the Planning Board for a proper public hearing. I'm not going to restate the entire content of the letter. I don't think there's any purpose to be served by that today. But I do want to point out that the original public hearing was presented as a combination of two associated applications, the rezoning and the termination of the existing deed restrictions. That's what was heard by the public, that's what was presented to the public, and that's what was just argued back in early September. At the November meeting of the board, the rezoning application disappeared. I don't know how it became disassociated, but it was no longer part of the application. And instead, a brand new set of restrictions were presented to the Planning Board, which the Planning Board members had not seen, had not had an opportunity to review. And apparently, as indicated by Mr. Culver, had just been submitted to the department the previous afternoon. So the board was being asked to recommend to you a set of restrictions that they literally took 5-minute recess during the meeting to try to read and absorb and understand. Those restrictions were not identical to the restrictions that were presented, private restrictions that were part of the original public hearing. They differed in a number of respects. The board should not have had to make a decision or a recommendation without an opportunity to consider it. There was no opportunity for public input at that meeting. The public has never had a chance to comment on the merits of those particular restrictions. The private set of restrictions that were talked about at the original hearing were just that, a private set of restrictions that the county was not a party to. The county is being asked to take on an enforcement role in these new restrictions. And we feel under the circumstances that warrants a proper procedural process for those restrictions. And that involves a public hearing, public notice, an opportunity for public input, and a proper recommendation from a well-informed planning board to you. So we would ask that you exercise your discretion to return this matter to the planning board with instructions to follow the process and to give these restrictions the appropriate measures. Beyond that, I won't comment on the merits of the rezoning or the things that other things, those have also been discussed. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. McAvoy. We're talking about the private versus the publicly enforceable by the county. I guess concern that you said that these restrictions, I guess, were different in the form that they were taken from the private restrictions and then made into public restrictions. Are the private restrictions still going to be applied as originally proposed?
I don't know that. You have to ask the developer. But again, the county's being asked to take on an entirely different role. And you're being asked to approve a set of restrictions that haven't had the kind of vetting and review that's appropriate in the circumstances required by the law.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a concern, as I've had before, with the process and how this meeting was conducted. And when I read Mr. McElvin's email, he brought it clear to my attention. I would like to get a response from land use, because also one of the members of the planning board made a comment about the timeliness of the reception of the new deed restriction. So I think we need to get an explanation on how this actually happened, because we're kind of hearing two sides of the story. But I've heard it enough to make me think we get some credibility in terms of how the process works.
Were there additional questions, members of council? Dave?
Right, I did a cover general manager. And this process worked no differently than any other process. The fact of the matter is, when we do a recommendation report, the planning board is not given the recommendation report in advance. It is read at that meeting. When we were going through the process of writing a recommendation report, knowing the history of what had just recently occurred with council, the department said in our discussions internally, we should go ahead and outline the conditions that we think are enforceable by Newcastle County as part of the lifting of the deed restrictions, so that we can incorporate into our recommendation report to give that opportunity to council, instead of us just saying approval to lift it, and then we come down here and discuss deed restrictions directly with council. This is not a deed restriction change. The application in front of the department was to lift the deed restrictions. Our recommendation was to lift the deed restrictions on this property. We're saying, as part of that conditional approval to lift those deed restrictions, there are other restrictions that should either be recorded or added to the record plan to ensure that we are given a comfort level to the county council and to the residents that there are certain things that we will enforce. Part of the concern we heard during the public hearing on this application and a previous application was that the deed restrictions are being put on strictly for the benefit of Kennett Pike Association, and what would happen if Kennett Pike Association disappeared, who would enforce it? Well, as council voted on the Barty Mill plan, they said, we're going to put these notes on the plan as a condition of plan approval to make sure that everyone understands that Newcastle County can enforce these restrictions. We could have very easily have written these restrictions ourselves internally, or just read that entire document as part of our recommendation. We thought it'd be more beneficial to council to have it in a format that's ready to be recorded and attached to the recommendation. So the confusion that is being introduced to council is the application was for a deed restriction change. If this was for a deed restriction change, yes, these restrictions would have been laid out as part of the public hearing. The application was to lift the deed restrictions. We lifted the recommendations on lifting the deed restrictions with the condition that other restrictions are added to the property. The rezoning still hasn't gone away. The action on the rezoning has been deferred. by, at the request of the applicant. So the rezoning application is still an active application. We're not making a recommendation on this. It's my understanding with the applicant is that with the lifting of the deed restriction, they could do what they want to do on the property as shown with the deed restriction with that 6,000 square foot building without going through the rezoning. So with the lifting of the deed restriction, they could then at some point in time withdraw that rezoning application and then just go ahead and record that plan with these restrictions. If they're unable to do that, then they would go forward with the rezoning application, and that would be a separate application back to this council. So procedurally, we followed the exact procedure that's outlined in the code. When we do a recommendation, we read the recommendation. If the planning board would like to have a recess to read additional information, they may do so, or they can just have the discussion on that read recommendation. So in this case, the planning board, they just went ahead and recessed to read what was submitted. We could have just as easily have read that into our recommendation report and say, and we will add this as a deed restriction and we will come up with a proper format through the county law department. It's just as easy to get the applicant's attorney to give us a proper format that we agree to instead of us doing it. The other result would have been the same. And procedurally, we would have followed the same procedure on what was applied for.
If I may follow up, according to the planning board member who may have misunderstood the process, I'm reading directly from the recommendations of the planning board. This particular member maybe was confused with the restriction change and perhaps felt that the additional information was substantive, and I guess what you're saying is that the additional information that was provided is a normal procedure, that there was nothing substantive about the additional information.
That's correct. You will frequently see in any recommendation from the department to council, when we have a conditional approval, we will list out the conditions that we felt necessary on that application. Those conditions are normally a reaction to what we heard at the public hearing and would come after the public hearing. You obviously have to have the application, have a hearing, take that public input, and then react to that public input. What I think they're saying here is you have the public hearing, you take their input, you write a recommendation, then you have a public hearing on your recommendation.
No.
The recommendation
we do.
Comes here right for here. Your public hearing. You don't go back in front of the planning board. If the planning board did not like the conditional approval and the conditions, they could have made the motion not to concur with the department or come up with their own recommendation. But in this case, we made the conditional approval. We outlined what the deed restrictions would do. We felt it would be better to give council two options, and that's what we said in our recommendation. Which says that the condition requires that the new declarations be recorded or be added to the record plan. So if council's not comfortable with the way these were written out, if you just want to read these into the record and say make this a note on the record plan like we did along with the ordinance for Barney Mill, you have both options. But we felt it is very important when we were going through this process in working with the applicant and working with the residents that we give everybody that safety net, that there are certain conditions that if Kenneth Pike was unable to or unwilling to enforce, Newcastle County would have that enforcement ability. So that's how that came about, and that's why it was read into the record that it was trying to make this a very open and transparent way of doing business that we took into account all the recommendations that we heard throughout this process.
And if I may comment just for a second, I think even the way we did it with Barley Mill was a little bit problematic, the way we added the deed restrictions at the 11th hour of that meeting. And I just feel that if we had a standard process going forward, for me, I thought the way we did that was a little unusual, was not following the normal process, so there was no precedent for doing it that way. It seems to me now we're getting into an area where this is going to become the new norm, that we would have these private deed restrictions where the county decides, well, we want to offer greater assurances. And I just don't recall that happening within a degree of regularity in the past.
And normally, we don't need to be, for a rezoning hearing, we don't need to be part of deed restrictions because the plan itself by county code is a deed restriction. So our opinion has always been and continues to be, it's nice that you offer additional assurances to the public, but the plan itself is a deed restriction, and to change that plan, you're back in front of county council, and county council will have a hearing, as with the planning board, to change that plan. In this case, when we're doing the Barney Mill, there was a lot of concern that some of those restrictions, for whatever reason, and why, and again, we have full confidence in the Kenneth Pike Association. They're one of the organizations, much like TCOBH and Gated have been around for a long time, but they will continue to function and operate. Part of the discussion at council during that time was that they would like to see some of these restrictions on the plan. Most of those restrictions that are on the plan were already part of the plan by the plan itself. Mm-hmm. So we don't really think that this should be the norm. In this case, we made the recommendation this way because the applicant has kind of said if the deed restriction is lifted, they don't need the rezoning, so we wouldn't have the rezoning plan that we would put the notes on. But this is just that little safety net, and I think this was something that council heard. No, this is not a normal process, and we don't want that to be the normal process. We want this, the code to stand on its own, and through the last 12 years, the way rezonings have functioned, it has stood on its own.
Thank you. And Dave, thank you for that clarification. And certainly council can, you know, accept your recommendation. They can reject your recommendation, or we can modify your recommendation. That's our process here. Councilman Cartier has left us. Okay, Council President Kovac.
Thank you. I'm going to ask a couple follow-up questions with Mr. Culver. Since he was already on the hot seat, I thought he'd keep him there for a little while. So to be clear, I see it in the recommendation, and you just said it. So we're not, the department, if these changes weren't going to be, some of these changes weren't adopted and put as publicly enforceable or enforceable by the county, the department would not be recommending the approval of these deed restriction changes. Is that correct? I mean, that's what this says. You wouldn't be recommending it unless they were either recorded or added to the notes.
That was the condition of our recommendation of approval to council.
Okay.
Now, council can, and I think Councilman Tack enumerated this very well. If you have other things you wanted to add or change, that would be certainly council prerogative. This is our recommendation to council.
My follow-up question to that is then, I guess I heard something earlier from the public that some of these privately enforceable conditions weren't included, or all of them weren't included as publicly enforceable conditions. I mean, in your view, is there anything that should have been included from the private restrictions that aren't included in the public restrictions if they're not identical? I mean, there's a concern that there are these conditions, the privately enforceable conditions and the publicly enforceable conditions, aren't exactly the same. And I think that was agreed on. Now, are there any substantive differences then that would give you concern that some of the private restrictions aren't enforceable by us as the county?
Anything that is a private restriction is not enforceable by the county. So if they have additional guarantees with the Kennett Pike Association, that would be enforceable by the Kennett Pike Association. What we try to do when we look at the restrictions, and again, it puts us in an awkward position because we normally don't review private deed restrictions as part of our process. When we're looking at the private deed restrictions, we try to lift what we know we can enforce. Things like square footage, by building permit, or by plan we can enforce. When you get into aesthetic issues, that's very difficult for us to enforce. We have some restrictions on a building from years ago up in Hocasin that basically has the type of material and the type of walls that have to be built on the building. That's problematic to the department because when the building permit comes in, we have to make sure that that's flagged, that somebody knows to go and look at those deed restrictions. There was a very famous case of a Wawa up in Claymont that promised a certain brick color. They didn't build that brick color. That was a restriction on the plan, and we held it for a CFO in that project for several years until they dyed the bricks the color of the deed restriction. So we try not to get into the aesthetics as much because that becomes more difficult when you start to transcend the different divisions of government. We try to pick things that are easily picked up as part of the deed restriction from the planning review standpoint. And we let the aesthetics out of it go more back to the community, and then if they have a change in the aesthetics, then the community can decide what's best for the change in the aesthetics. When the government gets involved in aesthetics, beauty becomes something in the eye of the beholder. And what one part of the county will think is a beautiful building, another part would say is hideous. So we usually let the public, if they have these private restrictions, deal directly with the developer, and we try to stick more to what's exactly in the code and what we can easily enforce off a note of a plan.
Councilman Cartier.
Yes. My question goes out to another topic, but I think it circles back in terms of if we're successful in quenching the original deed restrictions and adopting the new ones through recordation on the plan, what happens to the, first of all, what was the nature of the rezoning that was initially proposed, and what happens to that even after we go through the, you know, recordation of new deed restrictions on the parcel that's got an OR base zone?
I can tell you from a procedural standpoint what happened. I'll let the applicant speak to the rest of it. My understanding is with the change in deed restrictions, with the new restrictions going on the plan, that the rezoning would not be necessary and that they would most likely just go forward with the plan as proposed without the rezoning, so there would not be a CN zoning. If these are recorded and the applicant decides to pursue the rezoning, the department would issue another recommendation specifically on the rezoning of the parcel and that parcel from CN. If the applicant is able to accomplish what they need to accomplish through the deed restriction change without going through rezoning, because if it's a bank or another office by right permitted use, they wouldn't need the rezoning. They could withdraw that, record the plan, and with the restrictions, and that would end it. If we make a recommendation on the rezoning, that would come back to council. If we recommend, again, denial of the rezoning, and you deny the rezoning, with the deed restrictions change, you could still do what they were proposing on the rezoning as long as it's office. If the rezoning is approved, then the deed restrictions would still be in place and whatever you're permitted under the commercial district. But it's my understanding, and I don't want to speak for the applicant, is that what they would like to do on the site can be accomplished under the office zoning, and they would not need to pursue the rezoning with the deed restriction change.
Okay, and I think it's very important that we stick to the application before us and not try to surmise what could or could not happen. Councilman Weiner?
Yes. The current plan of record and deed restrictions permit a certain expansion of the existing building. The substitute deed restrictions to which the county and Kennett Pike would be part of would accommodate a building the same size, larger or smaller. Can you comment on the by right plan that currently of record and what it would permit and compare it to what the new deed restrictions would permit?
I did not do, or nor did the department do, an analysis of what's permitted under the current deed restrictions, because the application in front of us is for what it is, not for what they could do under the current deed restrictions. I can certainly yield to the applicant if they did that analysis prior to going through this process, but our process is to do the analysis on what is in front of us, and what was in front of us with this deed restriction change and rezoning, and what they will be able to do under this change, not what they were proposing to do.
Okay. Well, I hope that the applicant's attorney will clarify that either now or next week. Could he clarify it now? Go ahead.
Are you prepared to clarify?
I'm prepared to clarify. I guess 2 points. One, responding for John Tracy from Young Connolly, Stargate, and Taylor. Lou is about to throw something at me. First, going to Mr. Cartier's question regarding the rezoning, there is a pending application for CN. If that matter was to be proceeded, it would be CN with limitations that are on the deed restrictions as to what uses could be. Unlike the current parcel, which has no limitation on which of the 19 acres or all of the 19 acres could be rezoned, the deed restrictions have a limitation that limits future rezoning to just that two-acre parcel. The remainder of the parcel could not be rezoned beyond that. It also identifies the classification to which it can be rezoned to, which is CN. With regard to the math, and I always preface this with my comment that I got a D in my only college math class, so it's as good as what you get. But if you look at the restrictions that were submitted both to the county and as part of the community, the square footage numbers are generated by the 1.7 acres of ground floor area you're allowed by the restrictions.
Current restrictions?
Current restrictions. The present building is approximately 138,000 square feet. The numbers are in the documents that you have. We're proposing, if you do the math, that allows you approximately 12,000 square feet of additional floor area, which the restrictions allow to be three stories total, a basement and two stories above, which is 36,000 square feet, which is how we arrived at the number. The current 6,000 square foot building obviously takes away some of that remaining square footage. So the change that you see in the deed restrictions from the 1.7 to 1.793, I believe, in terms of ground floor area, represents the ground floor area necessary to keep that 36,000 square feet as it was. So in the end, the essence is
Our belief is you have the same size building with a 6,000 square foot independent building, 138,000 square foot plus or minus existing building, and the remaining square footage allowed by that difference of combining those two floor areas into what is left. So the intention is not to have additional square footage.
But the location would be different?
The location, the current restrictions do not limit where a building can be on the property. It says a building. It never set out where that building could be. Currently, we could add 36,000 square feet to that existing building on any side, either towards Brex Lane, towards the back, towards a different side. You could connect it with a breezeway. You could connect it with a skywalk if you wanted to put it in a different location. There's no limitation on where it can be. The new restriction would allow that 6,000 square foot building away from Brex Lane, but at a setback distance that's farther than what the code requires off of Monchanan.
My most directly affected constituents live on Brex Lane. The proposed site, would it be visible from the homes that live on Brex Lane?
It would. My reaction is to say no, but I haven't stood back there and look at it, but it's at the furthest point away from Brex Lane upon which the property could be developed, as opposed to, say, a restriction towards the back of the building, potentially towards Brex Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Councilman Retta?
Thank you. There's a lot of talking going on here. The Kennett Pike Association is involved in supposedly the negotiations. Are the Ponds and Monchan involved?
I do not know who CRG has spoken to. I know that Kennett Pike Association is obviously a member of the area, a member of CRG. They're also one of the two beneficiaries of the deed restrictions, but I have not spoken directly to them.
I believe somebody's here from Kennett Pike Association. Could they answer that?
Yes, we tried to include everyone. It was CRG, not the Kennett Pike, sorry. John Danzeisen, the president of the Kennett Pike Association. It was Citizens for Responsible Growth that did the negotiations with Stultz. Kennett Pike Association very much part of that organization and supportive of it, as were most of the other neighborhood associations, including Monchan and the Ponds. Where they actually stood or stand vote by vote, house by house, I don't know, but we got general support from both communities.
And the people of Brex Lane, too?
Folks from Brex Lane are here to speak to you today.
Thank you.
Council President Kovac?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've heard, I'm sure we'll be hearing some arguments about that the change in this deed restriction actually is less impactful on the community versus more impactful for having another building versus not having another building. Do we have a visual representation of what would be the expansion of the building, or do you have a visual of what would be the expansion of the building versus
the
separate
building?
Yeah.
I don't have a visual of that, although we do have a visual that was used on a prior application that showed what a separate 36,000 square foot building would look like. We have not done one that shows one attached to the existing building on either side, because that's not being proposed. Originally, there was several years ago, there was a different application with a larger building taking up most of that 36,000 square feet up to where the 6,000 square foot building is proposed now.
Do you have a drawing of the proposed, if these deed restrictions that are lifted and then other ones reimposed, do you have a drawing of what that building would be on the property? Where the building would be on the property?
I don't know if we have one specific. Can
anybody speak?
Right. Yeah. The proposed deed restrictions show limitations on where we could build, but we don't have an identification of where it could be. The deed restriction, or what it would look like, I'm sorry. The deed restrictions currently say it needs to be compatible with the existing building that's on the property, which is a red brick and glass building with masonry accents. Obviously, we would have no problem with that being added if they wanted, if there was a desire for more specificity than compatible with the existing building on the property.
Mr. Chair, with your indulgence, let me just ask a question. It's probably on people's mind. In my mind, adding to an existing building is easier than building a standalone. Why would the applicant be seeking to do the reverse?
That's more flexibility in terms of where you're developing. It's also reducing the impact on our most immediate neighbors, which would be the Brexlane folks. There may be a use that you want to incorporate, like, for instance, we'll use the one that was mentioned before, a bank that works better in a different location as opposed into the middle of a building that sits off the road. It gives you, I think, quite frankly, it gives you a little bit more flexibility. This change gives you more flexibility on how you use the property. We've placed portions of the property off limits by terms of the deed restrictions, including the area that would expand the property towards Brex Lane if that were the direction that were ultimately chosen. But it gives us some more design flexibility instead of just building onto the existing building. And also, as part of that, I'm sure folks from KPA or CRG would echo this, but in terms of those restrictions, we agreed not to also alter the material height of the building, so that if we connected to it, we wouldn't be building existing parts of the building higher as part of the overall process.
Thank you. Those are questions. Okay, let's go back to the public.
Thank you. My name is Tom Dusen. Back at the September planning board hearing, we presented 250 letters of objection to any relaxation of the standards, the deed restrictions, and I'm here today to represent those voices and just to supplement something we just heard that included residents of Monchan, the Ponds, the Briars, Hillside Road, Westover Hills, actually 50 different neighborhoods throughout northern New Castle County. We've had a lot of discussion here today, but fundamentally the proposal before you today boils down to a very simple question. 43 years ago, the community negotiated a set of highly protective deed restrictions at 21 Shannon, and the applicant fundamentally wants to void those restrictions. It's no more complex than that. I think everyone knows the property sits at the gateway to the Brandywine Valley with historic churches and museums and homes. And that's why the deed restrictions 43 years ago were made so highly protective. They mandate one and only one building, a very limited ability to expand that building. It has to be attached to it. And the use is restricted to a headquarters, office, or a similar use. They even went so far as to make sure vending machines were permitted. That's how tightly drawn the actual deed restrictions are today. They're much more restrictive than the office use definition that's in the code today, and they're much more restrictive than the OR zoning definition that's in the code today. That's why this is so critical. This is the Maginot line. If you go back to the code and you read what's permitted under office use today, let me give you a couple examples. Auto title loan and check cashing services, jails, employment agencies, collection agencies, and repossession agencies, and funeral homes, just to name a few. So you can see the difference between the existing restrictions put in place 43 years ago and what the code allows under office. Now, if you go to OR zoning, which is what the site has, under certain conditions, restaurants, retail stores, lodging facilities, and drive-ins are allowed. And that's even before you get to any rezoning to CN. So we got a very fundamental question before us today. Are we going to throw out restrictions that have existed for 43 years and been highly protective, or are we going to preserve them? Now, in addition to throwing out the restrictions, the proposal on the table does expand the footprint allowed on the site. Today, the restrictions allow 12,000 square feet of additional footprint attached to the building. The proposal is to go to 16,000. So it's an increase. It allows multiple buildings on the site, more than two. And obviously, if the existing deed restrictions are removed, the site can very easily be commercialized. So we're here to oppose any relaxation of the deed restrictions and ask you to consider that in your deliberations over the next week. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So just to me.
Okay. Councilwoman Cabatra.
Just a couple of things, some things that have been mentioned to me and one that you just mentioned.
Since these deed restrictions basically say if this property is rezoned, all restrictions go away, I would assume that the author of these presumed that at some point there may be a rezoning, or he wouldn't even have bothered to mention that the restrictions would no longer hold if there was a rezoning. The second one, you talked about vending machines that were not allowed.
No, they are allowed.
Okay.
They want to specifically make sure they were allowed. That's how tightly drawn this is.
Thank you.
Now, to your question about the out clause that exists in the existing deed restrictions from 43 years ago, there are a lot of different ways to skin this cat. One of the proposals on the table today, let's just void the restrictions. That opens Pandora's box. Another way to open Pandora's box is to rezone the site, because that voids the deed restrictions. So there are multiple paths that exist to do away with what's in place today. I just want to comment. I get you to the same place. We're talking about one path today.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I wanted to ask Dave Culver some clarification on some of the points that Mr. Dusen made. Mr. Culver, back in the hot seat again. Some of the uses which were cited, which I would think would be out of character with the community, could you comment on some of what I consider more noxious uses cited by Mr. Dusen? Would they be permissible currently or in with the substitute of restrictions? What uses would be permitted?
Well, the O2, or which is now the OR district, permits a variety of anything permitted as office. So you have all your office uses, mixed uses. I already told you that you're allowed 10% of commercial retail in those districts. You can have institutional uses. You can have those in just about any district. So it is all outlined within the county code. I'm not quite sure what uses would be considered noxious or not good uses for those districts. Most of those districts, when that zoning code was created, was vetted as these are permitted uses, these are where these type of uses are appropriate, and then those uses are then set out in different categories. So normally your chemical manufacturing and those type of things are type of uses that you separate out into your heavy industrial and your industrial districts.
So the ON office neighborhood zoning went to office regional, and that zoning change would not change with the deed restriction?
Well, the O2 went to OR.
Yes.
During the conversion in 1998.
So the current permissible uses under O2 or OR would continue to be the same with the change in the deed restrictions of record?
That's correct.
Okay.
Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. David, since you're here, might as well ask you. I was going to follow up with Mr. Dusen. Do you agree with the characterization, I guess? Is it accurate to say that, say, 12,000 more square feet would be allowed now if we don't change the deed restrictions? 12,000 square feet would be allowed to that one building as one building. Is that accurate?
Well, and again, going back to the deed restriction, and maybe phrase this, we looked at the application in front of us. I think the question before, did we do an analysis of the deed restriction? We did review the previous deed restriction. We didn't sketch out how that deed restriction would be shown on that existing building. I think, as Mr. Tracy was saying, the 12,000 was a footprint, but you take that over a three-story building with a basement, that's 36,000 square feet. That being said, we did not go back at this point in time and do all the site capacity calculations to see how that would physically lay out, if they could actually get that square footage on there or not. My assumption would be, yes, you could get that square footage on there. You might have some open space or landscape surface ratio issues where you may have to build a parking deck or something like that, or be creative with the square footage. But could you physically fit on that parcel? I'm sure you did. We just did not physically lay that square footage out.
Sure. And I guess the changes, and this is something that you did analyze, if we did adopt the or lift the restrictions in exchange for putting new restrictions on, it would allow 16,000 more square foot of a separate building. And second part of that question is maybe more than one separate building. Is that correct? There's no restrictions on building more than one building under the proposed new restrictions.
you could build more than one building. There is a restriction on what would be allowed on the building that's shown on this plan at 6,000 square feet. Then it talks about how they reserve the remainder of the square footage, which is spelled out, and I'm trying to flip through it as we talk. Any future building would not exceed 10,283.92 square feet on the site. Now, that would be another plan that would have to come back through the department and have to be shown. Their exhibit shows that's attached to the deed restriction where the proposed building would be. It doesn't show what the additional square footage would be proposed. Okay. So I would think that any plan that would come through would have to also amend the exhibit to show the additional square footage.
Understand, but I guess my question is, and I appreciate that the clarification, we're not approving a specific plan for more than one building. But right now, if we approve what's been proposed to us, what's before us, they could indeed build that one building and then come back under the restrictions as modified and put a second building on there or whatever, however many else, as long as they fit within that number of square footage requirements.
Right, they would have to come back through under that square footage. As of today, if they decide to do an addition to the existing building, they wouldn't have to do all 36,000 square feet at one shot. They could come in and say, we're going to do 6,000 and then come back later and do another 6 or something like that. So it's really each plan as it comes through, and plans that reserve square footage will come back at a later date with additional review. In that case, because I think the way they did the exhibit on the deed restriction, that would require a change to the exhibit also, which would also come back in front of county council. So that would give us the opportunity to revisit the site in the future if they're doing any changes to the square footage.
I just want to understand fully the ramifications of our lifting these restrictions and imposing them.
Right. And again, the reason that these restrictions are spelled out in this manner because the application in front of the department was simply to lift the restrictions.
Which you clarified many times. All right, let's turn back to the public. Remember, I'm going to move around the room, so make sure as I'm sweeping through that you're rising if you have any concerns or questions.
Yes, my name is Joe Kelly, and I live in Westover Hills, Section A, and here for Save the County and also for a lot of residents in Sections A, B, and C. They have not decided, the boards have not officially decided whether they oppose or support this proposal. So to the extent that CRG representing, they have approval from those boards, that's not the case. I've talked to a lot of residents, and the people I've talked to are opposed to this. One of the things that, and you seem to go through this, but it is clear under the code that if you change deed restrictions to which a county is a party, there has to be a public hearing. Now, Mr. Culver says, well, we're not changing them, we're lifting restrictions and adopting new restrictions. Now, to me, that's a change, requires a public hearing, hasn't been held, and why don't we send it back for a public hearing and go through the proper procedure? There's been a lot of discussion about what these restrictions mean, that we would all benefit from that discussion at a public hearing. And Mr. Tracy's point that these restrictions are identical. They are not identical to what was introduced at that planning board hearing. What you, I think Mr. Kovac said, what kind of restrictions? Well, one of them deals with setbacks. People from Brex Lane are concerned about that. What it says in the county restrictions is that it can be only, I think, 90 feet from Monchanan Road. Doesn't talk at all about Brex Lane. And just giving, we went through this with Bartlemill Plaza, but these private restrictions are illusory. And I think that's the reason why, with respect to Bartlemill Plaza, and I think the reason that, maybe the reason that the planning department recommended we have county enforcing these restrictions, is that it says in the restrictions that they can't be contrary to and are subject to the December 31st, 2010 agreement with Stoltz and CRG. And that agreement permits Mr. Stoltz to make non-material changes to those, to that agreement and to these restrictions. It also permits him for a period of 5 years to consult with Mr. Dan Zeisner, his successor, and they can make material changes that are at variance with that agreement, at variance with these restrictions. They're entirely illusory. So the only restrictions we have on that property are the ones that are being considered today. Now, I noticed that Mr. Beck gave the county attorney a copy of the restrictions, indicating that, to answer Mr. Kovac's question, that the consent of Hagley is not needed. Well, I'll send the county attorney a copy of Mr. Beck's letter in 2008, where he says exactly the opposite. He says Hagley and Kenneth Pike need to be consented when there's a change. And he copied Norm Veazey and Rod Ward. They are the two lawyers who wrote these restrictions. Now, I think it's important, a lot of discussion about this current building. Well, that's important, but as Tom said and Mr. Kovacs pointed out, we can have an additional building. And where is that going to be located on this site? Currently, the restriction says, despite what Mr. Tracy says, it should be a part of the existing building. I don't think you could run some structure to take it away from that building. It would be inconsistent and a violation of these restrictions. And as Tom Dusen pointed out, what we're doing here is we're opening a door to commercial in this area. That's essentially what this is all about. And this discussion about what it is, I personally think it was evaluated as a restaurant. I personally think it's going to be a sports bar with a restaurant. And quite frankly, I'm sure the people in my section of Westover Hills and the other very nearby sections do not want that. It could be anything, but that's one logical choice. And so how are you going to say no to anybody else? All this property is zone OR. Are you going to say to them, oh, we lifted a deed restriction to permit commercial, but we can't let you commercialize your property? It's a dangerous precedent. I go to church at St. Joe's of Brandywine. I went to school there. I'm going to be buried there. The Hagley place is right on this site. Breck's Mill is right here. Why do we want to destroy this area? It's a source of revenue for the county, for the state. People come from buses from all over to enjoy this area, and there's no reason to destroy it, and this would just be another effort to do so if you would approve this. Thank you.
Do we have any questions? I just need to make a very fast announcement here that we're going to need to move through the community here kind of quickly. I ask everybody to please not be redundant. The building is going to have the water supply shut off at 5 o'clock. Therefore, bathrooms and everything will be shut down. So we're going to need to wrap this meeting up and be ready to go, because you'll have to go from the 8th floor down if you have to go to the bathroom. Where are we at in the community?
Bill.
I don't know.
We'll come back. Next, you got, are you the community or are you the attorney? Okay.
The attorney.
Okay. And moving around. Hey, ma'am.
Good afternoon. My name is Rebecca Collins. I am president of the Brex Lane Association. All right. Brex Lane, you've heard a lot about, but you haven't heard from us yet. We are a historic neighborhood located directly adjacent to the 20 Mont Shannon property site. If you're at all familiar with the area, 20 Mont Shannon sits kind of up on a hill. Brex Lane, there's a hill, and we sit down below it. And so although you've heard from a lot of people opposed to these restrictions, members of Westover Hills, Westmoreland, other neighborhoods, we're the people who are most affected. The residents of Brex Lane are the citizens of this community who's most impacted by the 20 Mont Shannon development. And the impact is both aesthetic and practical. The impact on the residents of Brex Lane is aesthetic in that the current restrictions, and I'll speak about, there's a plan on the table, just to clear this all up, right? There's current restrictions and then there's the new restrictions. So the current restrictions, the building could be taller than the new restrictions. The building could be made of any godforsaken, ugly color stone that people want to use. It could be covered in any exterior material. It could be above a tree line. It could be towering over our street if this proposed adjacent... What I'm trying to say is that we're the ones impacted. With regard to the water runoff that we heard about earlier, we're the water runoff sandbag people. We're the ones who are affected by this problem. We support this plan because it is, in fact, a compromise in lieu of litigation. One of the primary things that we're not talking about here is that the current restrictions, if this matter is rezoned, go away entirely. And rather than fight whether or not these restrictions run with the land, or whether these restrictions don't run with the land, whether or not the original drafters intended that or not, what reasonable people do in a situation like this is they compromise. And that is what CRG, on behalf of the citizens of this community, and Stoltz, as a citizen coming into this community, have decided to do. They've reached an agreement that they think provides adequate protection to the residents of Brex Lane as well as the community at large, but also allows for the reasonable development of a growing population. Now, there's always the risk that in litigation, or just before the planning board, that this matter would be rezoned entirely, and as you suggested, these restrictions would go away in their entirety, and we could have all sorts of tattoo parlors up the street. That is a risk, and that's a risk that doesn't seem to be addressed here. So we believe, as the residents most affected by the problem, that a reasonable compromise is the solution to this particular issue. And that's the position of the residents of Rexland.
Great, thank you.
Question?
Exactly.
Right. Thank you. First of all, Ms. Collins, we never met. Thank you for introducing yourself and for coming today representing your community. And I'm always, like each council person, concerned about balancing the interests between the immediate community and the community at large and the applicant. And sometimes those are diametrically opposed and very challenging. So I appreciate your being here to help us all. And I appreciate my fellow council persons for allowing community people that are passionate both at large and in the immediate community. This, first of all, let me just say this is a public hearing. So to those that said there needed to be another public hearing, council does provide it after the planning board. And
there will be another one.
And there will be another one as well.
Next Tuesday. We'll
and also I just want to say that Hagley needed to be consulted, and they were consulted. And they opted for the record, and they told me this, they didn't want to participate. They didn't want to either have input for or against. That was their response, and they were consulted. My concern to you is the building, from what I understand, can be built anywhere on the site attached to the current building. How would that affect you visually? What would be the visual impact as opposed to the plan which has proposed pushing it as far away from your homes as possible?
Yes, the current restrictions allow an expansion of the existing building, and the most logical place to put that expansion is towards the back. And if you were to stand on Brex Lane and look towards the 20 Mont Shannon site with an existing three-story building, it would basically tower over this street, which lies in a valley and goes down an incredibly large hill. So it would be a major physical and visual imposition on the homes on that street. Was that your question?
Yes. Okay, well, I'm familiar with it geographically, but my other fellow members of council, we can't assume that they are.
No, of course not. And, you know, please, come on by. We're happy to show you around if you'd like to see what we're dealing with.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. Councilman Cartier, you had something to say?
Just a question would be, and I agree your community is directly adjacent, most affected. How many homes are in Brex Lane?
Brex Lane is part of the historic village of Henry Clay, Delaware. I believe there are 18 houses from the top of the hill to the bottom on somewhere between a third of an acre to slightly larger home sites.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And over here?
Richard, on behalf of CRG, I'm not going to try and get into all of the legal issues about what does or doesn't
what does or doesn't entail consent. I'm a little disturbed that Mr. Kelly would characterize my giving Ms. Danner a copy of restrictions she hadn't seen as my telling her or arguing against a prior position, which was not my intent.
But Mr. Beck, I just caution you, don't take offense to anything. If we ever did, we would be offended all the time.
I know. If you don't say anything, then the silence is construed as acquiescence, or that must be the way it is. And I just want to make clear that isn't the way it is. I'm well aware of the fact that there was a three-story building that was proposed right on Munchannon Road 3 years ago. There is a lot of opposition to that. As I recall, Hegley Foundation joined a number of other organizations writing in opposition to that. Okay, now we have a situation where we have a lower building, it's further set back, there's a great deal of contentiousness in the community. Hegley, when consulted on the new restrictions, did not want to continue an enforcer role, CRGS. Do you want to remain an enforcer? And they did not. They said that's not our mission statement. And given the contentiousness, they frankly don't want to be involved. Well, consent is something like this. If somebody walks across my backyard, do I have to give them permission in order to consent, or do I just allow it to happen? But that's another argument. It's a legal point. With respect to the threat to the community, if you look at the deed restrictions for the Raskob Foundation, which is right next door, is about 9 acres, same exact language. A rezoning voids the deed restrictions. So you have a temptation for someone to take an assemblage, just make about 30 acres, and then seek a rezoning. Well, downzonings are typically and frequently easily obtained. OR to ON, 30 acres, mixed use. There's a lot of potential development there that no one who is opposing this current change wants to take into account. So you either take the long view, the long range. You don't say, oh, this particular county council would rezone and create that result. You have to look at years in advance and say, how can we protect the situation and make it better? The good thing about this is, if these restrictions are replaced with the new restrictions, regardless of whether that 2 acres is ever rezoned or not, the protection is permanent. There won't be any more rezoning with respect to the 17 acres that's there. 2 acres, yes, it could become CN. Well, go up the road a couple hundred yards to Crazy Cats. Guess what you've got there? You've got CR. Go up the road a couple hundred yards to the Greenville Center. You've got CR. We already have commercial out of the bag. There could be a restaurant put in the building that exists. You have to look at what is the overall the best improvements for the community. CRG has consistently attempted to work with the communities who are most directly and closely affected. And sometimes that isn't appreciated by outlying people. But that's what we've done. I'm going to let Mr. Danzeisen continue, unless you have questions for me.
Questions?
Members of Council, thank you. My name is John Danzeisen. I'm president of the Kenneth Pike Association. KPA has 300 member families who live along the Kenneth Pike and Route 100 corridors. And we have been preserving and protecting and beautifying these corridors for 55 years. We work with property owners to protect the heritage, the culture, and the beauty of these areas, and we have had considerable success. The Kennett Pike and Route 100 have both been designated as the Brandywine Valley National Scenic Byway, Delaware's only such byway, and one of only 120 in the whole country to receive such a distinction. The successes that we've had in our work are the result of working cooperatively with property owners and finding reasonable balances between their rights to develop their properties and the wishes of the community to preserve and protect our community character and heritage. Part of our work is a partnership we have with DelDOT and the Delaware Horticultural Center to plant and maintain the beautiful medians that are in Greenville. That work continues. And we have recently announced that through the generosity of a new sponsor, M&T Bank, we're going to plant and maintain some 2,000 feet of medians that run along Route 141 and Route 100 right in front of the property we're talking about today. As all of you know, we worked with Stoltz to significantly downsize his plans to develop his properties and to secure for the community measures in the form of strong deed restrictions that will both preserve the character of our community and protect in perpetuity against future developments on these properties that would destroy our culture and our heritage, such is the case with 20 Monchanan. The new deed restrictions maintain all of the important features of the existing restrictions, but strengthen and fortify the provisions that are critical going forward. Most families in our community favor this compromise, as they do the other plan compromises that we made. KPA and its 300-member families strongly favor the deed restriction changes and agree with the recommendations and support by both the Land Use Department and the Planning Board. The residents who live closest to this property, those on Brex Lane, largely favor the changes as well. We've met with the Hagley Foundation Board of Directors and Henry DuPont, their chairman, and Jeff Halfpenny, their executive director, have asked me to say that they will not be taking a position on this matter before you today. They wish to remain neutral. Enforcing deed restrictions is not part of their mission, as it is with KPA, and they wish to remain out of the debate. I urge you to support this change, which strikes a reasonable balance between the rights of the developer to develop this property and the wishes of the community to protect its character and heritage. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for council? Right. Moving up the aisle. Council President Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very quickly, you've heard some of the issues today. Obviously, there are differences of opinion on who is protected. I guess one of the main concerns I have is once you get rid of the single building, that theoretically, I mean, if the applicant wanted, you know, of course they have to go through the planning process, but they could reduce the size of their main building even further and put up more pad sites. I mean, where does that fall in addressing, I guess, your concerns or maintaining the quality of character? I mean, if it's one building, you know, that's being allowed by this change by this council, it's one thing. If it's an open door to a perpetual application for more pad sites, that
any new application, as was stated several times, would have to come back before this group. We would strongly oppose any additional buildings on that site.
Would there be, and I'm not sure you can answer this off standing right here, but would you be opposed to a restriction that only allowed one more building, and opposed to leaving the door open to many more buildings on the site?
We would be pressing hard, the Kennett Pike Association would be pressing very hard for there not to be any additional buildings other than the one that would be going on this 2-acre parcel. That's what we would be pushing hard for, that's what we would support. We've been doing this for a lot of years, Tom. We work with developers, we try to find reasonable compromises, and we think we've been largely successful in doing just that. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, you have a council person.
Oh, Councilman Street.
While the next week's coming, Mr. Chair, I just can't sit here and be completely silent anymore. I've articulated in the past, and I think I voted in accordance with the great respect I have for preservation of our history. By the same token, I sit here today, and I hear folks say that they don't want the possibility of a check cashing place in the area. They don't want the possibility of a title loan place in the area. They don't want the possibility of a jail in the area. But it's okay to fill my district, some of the other districts up, with title-owned places, with check-cashing places, and we put two jails in the city. At some point in time, when folks come in here and ask for fairness and talk about what they don't want, they need to consider the unfairness that has been imposed upon some of us in some of our districts in the past. And I just could not let this day continue without saying that. If it's no good and it's inappropriate for that area, then how do powers to be justify being appropriate in other areas? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Dorothy Supon, a resident of New Castle County for 47 years. And I just want to say I support Save Our County. Mr. McGavely, Mr. Kelly, and Mr. Dusen have certainly researched every possible avenue. And, you know, 18 homes on Brex Lane, I'm sorry, it doesn't seem to be putting that just up against St. Joseph's on the Brandywine property and Hagley. And I do feel that legally, Hagley has to put something in writing. I don't think Hagley can just say they don't want to get involved. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to move on now to the next application on the agenda under Councilman Powers. Councilman Powers cannot be here today, so Councilman Bell is going to take the lead on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just a reminder, too, if anybody has any additional comments or issues they wanted to send to council, please remember, you know, we'll have council meeting next Tuesday night, and given the fact that this will stay on the agenda, you'll have an opportunity to come and speak then, but also send any questions or concerns in the meantime also. Thank you. Councilman Bell, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the planned Meridian Crossing 2.
How are you?
And I believe that Jerry Heisler is going to make a presentation on this particular plan. There you go.
After the room clears?
Yeah. Yes. Because the bathrooms are closing.
Good afternoon. I'm going to try to keep this under 20 seconds. About a year ago, you approved the plan related to Meridian Crossing, where we changed 20 single families to about 50 semi-detached. We're just processing the plan through the record planning process. We've met all the standards relating to the UDC, all the state stormwater standards, and any other standards I can think of. So that's what the plan is. Any questions?
Questions from members of council?
The only thing I would add, Mr. Chairman, is that Councilman Powers, to the best of my knowledge, has not received any adverse comments regarding these changes, and you know, other than that, that's pretty much it.
Questions from members of the public? Okay.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Happy that was only 15. I'm not sure. Next item on the agenda, Councilman Bell.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This particular plan of High Hook is currently tabled for the second time. It was sent back to land use. Let me say that it is not the intent of myself to ask for any further tabling. It will be brought up. Motion will be made to untable this particular plan at our next council meeting on the 24th. Discussion, open public discussion, and brought to a vote. We are still, from the district standpoint, not satisfied with some of the answers that we've gotten back, in particular from DLDOT. There is still some concern over the answers that DLDOT's giving versus how our land use department perceives and reports to us. So over this next week, we'll be trying to clean up some of those questions, some of those answers, and we'll present the plan for a call for a vote for it this next Tuesday.
And thank you for that heads up, Councilman.
Yep, thanks.
And I so you know, commend you on your leadership you've taken on this project. You've certainly showed the compassion, and I don't think you've left any stone unturned with this, and you're certainly doing the due diligence as you're elected to do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, next item on the agenda, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Okay, this will be my 15 seconds also. This is a request for a rezoning. This is a parcel that the front part of the parcel is already zoned CR, because of community concern with adjoining properties, residential properties behind the CR property, that portion was not rezoned CR when the original front section was. They now, the applicant has come, asked for a CR zoning on the back portion of this property. The residents who initially opposed it have worked with the developer and with GATA. They have come to a compromise. There will be no new buildings on the property, but they're fine with rezoning it at this point. And Mr. Tucker is here if you have any other questions.
Mr. Tucker, I think you only got 5 seconds left on her 15. You want to talk briefly on the land use recommendation of the planning board, too?
I think Councilwoman Patrick summed it up well. The Department of Land Use also recommended in favor of this rezoning, and the planning board members did as well. There are some private deed restrictions we've agreed to enter into. Mr. Blake is here from GATA, who we work with, or at least was here. And I think if he were still here, he would represent that, in fact, they are supportive as an organization. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Questions, members of council? Members of the public?
He's still here.
Okay. Next item on the agenda, Councilman.
Is he still here?
Who?
I think
it's a private deed restriction, so it's up to them.
Just
want to
get it on the favor.
And I'm thinking that he was here really for the 20 Mont Shannon and not for this, so he probably left with that group.
All right. Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, Councilman Cartier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of Council, Ordinance Number 12-006. I intend to bring it forward at the next meeting, pending this discussion. This is an ordinance that would apply to the what's known collectively as the three villages of the Ardens, Arden, Ardentown, Ardencroft. Before I get into the substance of this, I'd like to recognize I'm joined by Ray Siegfried, who is the chairman of the planning committee for the Arden community. And whenever we bring something forward that pertains to the three villages of Arden, Ardentown, Ardencroft, that has been worked in a process through their, they are municipalities, they have regular meetings and do the business of these communities. And this particular ordinance has been brought forward after their process has signed off on it. I think Ray Siegfried will attest to that when I give him an opportunity to speak. And the substance of this ordinance is I'm going to paraphrase from the synopsis. This amends the property maintenance code to clarify that incorporated areas which have adopted a forest stewardship policy that encourages the return of fallen trees, tree limbs, and tree branches to organic matters, such as the Ardens, will enforce their own forest stewardship program. Fallen trees, tree limbs, and tree branches in such areas shall not be considered rubbish or debris within the meaning of the county's property maintenance code. And as incorporated municipalities, the Ardens have the ability to enforce such standards as part of being a chartered municipality. So I wanted to bring this forward for discussion by council this evening, and the section 302 has the bulk of the changes that would apply underlined under the Ford stewardship policy for fallen trees and branches. So with that being said, I'll close off and take questions. Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
I've got Councilman Redick, Councilman Smiley, and then President Kovac.
Yes.
Thank you. John, do you know how they do their enforcement? Is it on a municipality basis, or do they do it as in like a maintenance or homeowners association?
No, they exist as municipalities.
As a municipality?
Correct, yes.
Sort of like Newport or
yes,
things of that nature?
Exactly. And if you'd like, Ray could maybe respond to that as well.
Yeah.
Ray, would you care to?
Please. Chairman of the Community Planning. We do have a Forest Committee longstanding committee. The stewardship program has been in effect for well over 10 years, and the community is really bordered by forests. So it's been our policy, action, and practice to have a more kind of organic, you can see here, paragraphs 3 and 4, I think it's very well defined. So what we're asking for specifically is a redefinition and exemption for the Arden, such that tree branches would not be considered as rubbish.
Yeah, I was looking beyond that, as in your powers, on how you...
We have an actual booklet on stewardship, and we kind of self-police the community.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is there any way we can get a, that I can get a hold of one?
In fact, we did advance that to your attorney, that they have a copy, and we'd be more than glad to share that with you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, in a nutshell, they originally previously requested to fall under our code enforcement, officer. Right. Enforce our county code. Now what we're doing is saying, except for this.
I wouldn't classify it as except. I would say they're going to reserve that power to enforce that standard.
The code enforcement is going to continue to enforce the rest of the code, correct?
Right.
Except,
yes.
Except for the limbs.
That's correct.
Right. So except for this.
Correct. Yes.
But this isn't the first time we heard something like this. We've heard another exception, right?
Yeah. Well, this came before.
The accessory dwellings, everything, so... Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What the question in my mind this brings up is the applicability of this to, you know, other neighborhoods that border the greenways, border other, you know, forested areas as well. I mean, does this potentially deserve a larger, I mean, if we were to consider this, do we look at this from a larger basis? I mean, is this something... You know, a limited exception only because they're a municipality, or should we be granting this type of exception to other communities surrounding, forested areas as well? So that's my question.
I think Councilman Carney.
This pertains to the three incorporated municipalities of Arden, Arden Town, Arden Croft. I don't know if Ray, you want to also comment. Very limited scope and very limited application. Based on their preferences as incorporated municipalities.
And Mr. Chair, to follow up, I understand that. My question is, should it, I mean, if we're exempting one out, I mean, is there a reason to possibly extend that, not through this ordinance, but for the county council to consider examining the need or the definitions of rubbish in other surrounding communities that border, you know, have similarly situated developments in and around forested areas? That's all.
Councilman Weiner?
Thanks. I just wanted to thank the Ardens for their good stewardship of the forested areas that basically surround their three villages, and thank them also for working with Newcastle County and the state of Delaware when we were able to obtain an extra 5 acres for them abutting Marsh Road in the existing forested areas 10 years ago to add to your holdings at a time that it had actually been threatened for development. So,
Councilman Redda?
I'm good, thanks.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick?
I'm going to fall out of my chair.
Don't worry about it, I got you covered.
Sorry about that.
I got you covered.
Georgia catch.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
no comment.
Sorry. I'm going to view this as any incorporated area where it's their responsibility as they believe they can take over some power, enforcement power, that the larger entity originally gave them, that the protocol is to come to that larger governing body, ask for permission to do it themselves, and we grant it.
Right. Councilman Smiley?
Okay. Just let me ask, following on this, we got a big storm come through. I go out on the weekend. I cleaned all the limbs and everything up out of my yard. My neighbor doesn't. I don't like it.
What do I do?
Well, in our stewardship program, it's policy that we allow that to stay on the ground, to decompose, as it says here.
Okay.
That is basically our policy.
That's all I want to clarify.
And we followed it. Because
right now they would call code.
They would call a code.
Mm-hmm. Code enforcement.
Exactly.
So what we're saying is not, right. It's not that we're moving enforcement. Technically, what we're saying is that would not be a code violation.
That is
it's
correct.
Not a code violation.
Okay. That is correct. Right. And that aligns that behavior with the stewardship booklet that we have on how we manage the forest.
So would you be looking for a yard waste site up there? I think that would fit well with everybody in my district that has a problem getting rid of their waste.
They did have a composting site, but I don't know how that goes.
Additional question, member of council? Any questions from members of the public?
Can we inquire as to Ms. Danner still had some comments?
Do you have anything on the
order? She got up earlier and then went down.
We better come back to you. Yeah, we better come back to you on other.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We're on a different application.
We're not done with this.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought we were. My apologies.
That's it? Okay. All right. Well, we are. Moving on to other. Yes. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Mark Blake is here. If we could go back just for a minute and have him verify that their compromise has been reached through GATA.
Thank you. Mark Blake, representing GATA, president of GATA, Greater Hokesson Area Development Association. I just wanted to come down today because this was a project that sort of started out on one vein, and that was because the developer was sort of led to this type of mixed use, which put commercial on the ground floor and apartments on the second floor. It didn't quite work for the developer because, quite frankly, Mr. Tucker's client has no residential properties under management and has no desire for that. Well, they were led down that path. And the community, of course, didn't really particularly like that in this location. We're not a college town. We're not on a main thoroughfare. And unfortunately, some things that work well in other parts of communities don't work well in every community. So we kind of were at odds from the get-go. And it took many years and a lot of work, but we've worked out a compromise that actually benefits the nearest neighbors. They're much more pleased with that commercial rezoning, even though it sort of goes counterintuitive to what you would think with a residential property. But we already have two parcels in front that are that. And that's the reason it's not CN, by the way. We have a CR, so it's in congruence with what's already there. So those parcels are all tied together with the same sort of stipulations. And as those parcels have, we've worked out a very good set of deed restrictions. Contrary to what you might hear, deed restrictions do work. And many of the land use attorneys in this room and that were here earlier know that in Hokesson. And we tend to like those things because it helps everybody. They all get a voice, everyone works, we don't all get exactly what we want, but the compromise works out. And it's something that we've tried to work very hard with at GATA and will continue to do so. We'd rather work that out before it gets before you. Your time's valuable, as you saw from one of the earlier things. One of the tricks we do is we put the controversial stuff at the end of the meeting. That makes people that want to talk stay later if they have to and get the easy ones out of the way. And we value your time, and we'd like to see that same thing happen. So we vote for this, voted for it unanimously. All those nearest neighbors that you heard at planning boards and rezoning hearings before agree with this. We have no one that is adverse to this, and that's not a usual thing, as you well know. So we really wanted to come down here and make sure you understood that, and we would ask you to try to push people back and let them compromise before they come to you. Because it's a whole lot easier when the applicant can sit down with those folks in the community associations and work it out. And that makes your job easier, and quite frankly, we end up with a better plan. The applicant doesn't have to spend a lot of extra money trying to jump through hoops that they didn't have to begin with. So Mr. Hanna and Mr. Tucker were very, very approachable. So we again thank them, and I'm going to point to Larry, because Larry's is the blueprint we use for most of the deed restrictions out in Hokesson. And that they work very well, and we appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Well, Mark, I do appreciate you bringing forward your own comments and your opinion. Unlike that previous application, everybody else wanted to tell us what everybody else thought, but we're glad to hear what you think. So.
Thank you.
I agree with you on everything, except I had to make Larry's deed restrictions a little better. But, well,
that's what they all say.
Wendy, we're trying to wrap that up so everybody could at least go potty before they shut down the water. But You did have a comment you wanted to make?
I'll send out an email. It was just in regard to the deed restrictions and who needs to consent to a change. This is for the Mont Shannon.
Right.
So I'll send you out an email.
Good. Okay. Councilman Smith.
And it is FOIA-able because I know that's going to happen now that it's been raised and you're going to send an email. So we'll get it. If it's not going to take that long, I just assume you can get it out now because otherwise you're going to be accused of trying to hide something.
I'll save you from having to open up an email. The deed restrictions just require two parties to consent to any change to the deed restrictions, and that's the council and the property owner. The Kennepike Association and Hagley, although they had enforcement power, specifically do not have to have their consent for modification, revision, or amendment to the deed restrictions.
Thank you.
What
a shock.
Other? Did you have something else on that?
No, Mark was my other.
Oh, okay. Mark was your host.
Mark was my other. George, I'm
leaving the
other.
Okay. Entertain a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you.
How are you, sir?
Good.
And actually, they're not turning the water off. They're becoming paid.